Today on Real Radio.
Nebuchadnezzar is an amazing guy because we will see him in heaven. He's Babylonian. Did you know that? He's a Chaldean. He came from Iraq. Babylon, that was his hometown. Nebuchadnezzar. He was Iraqi. Saddam Hussein declares that he is a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. He's so proud of that. What's funny about that is Nebuchadnezzar, when you read the book of Daniel, he wound up receiving the God of the Jews. In fact, he made the declaration to be sent out to the entire world. He says, everybody's going to worship Daniel's God because he alone is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Isn't that something? Can you imagine Saddam Hussein going on Al Jazeera? I've made a mistake. Allah is not God. Yahweh is God, and he rules in heaven and earth. Can you imagine? That's what Nebuchadnezzar did.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're in a sub-series called Jesus Christ, Center Stage. You see, this final book of Scripture has more references to the Messiah than anyone else. In fact, chapter 1 in verses 4 through 11 is where the exiled apostle John is encountering the risen Redeemer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with this study called Jesus Christ, Center Stage.
Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back physically. He said he would come back. The Bible says that he will set up his rule and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. That's that Greek word millennium. It means 1,000 years. He's coming back. You might say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you will believe it. He's coming back. And he's going to set up his reign. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and at his appearing, he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who he is. In Daniel's great revelation of who God was, there's that tremendous moment where Nebuchadnezzar, remember that guy? Nebuchadnezzar's an amazing guy because we will see him in heaven. He's Babylonian. Did you know that? He's a Chaldean. You say, so what? Well, he came from Iraq. Babylon, that was his hometown. Nebuchadnezzar. He was Iraqi. Saddam Hussein declares that he is a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. He's so proud of that. What's funny about that is Nebuchadnezzar, when you read the book of Daniel, he wound up receiving the God of the Jews. In fact, he made the declaration to be sent out to the entire world. He says, everybody's going to worship Daniel's God because he alone is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Isn't that something? Can you imagine Saddam Hussein going on Al Jazeera? I've made a mistake. Allah is not God. Yahweh is God, and he rules in heaven and earth. Can you imagine? That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. It's too bad. Somebody ought to ship an Old Testament book of Daniel to Saddam Hussein, have him read it. Because he's so proud, you know, I'm a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, if you were, then why don't you get born again like Nebuchadnezzar and go to heaven? A friend of mine told me that he jokes around in Israel. He lives in Israel. He says, we joke around and we say that Saddam Hussein is actually an undercover Mossad agent, Israeli Secret Service. And people go, what do you mean by that? Because historically, who's killed more Muslims than any other ruler in modern ages? I'm giving you a big hint here. I'm kind of laying it on pretty thick. Whoever this person is, he's responsible for killing more Muslims than anybody else in modern age. Not Christians and not Jews. Muslims. He's killed more Muslims than anybody. His name's Saddam Hussein. What do you think of that? The Israelis joke. He works for us. They joke around like that. Isn't that bizarre? You ever think about that? CNN did. They aren't going to tell you that. Nebuchadnezzar threw his arms up, and the Bible says he fell on his face. and said, the God of heaven is King of kings and Lord of lords. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 19 that Jesus Christ comes out of heaven in the great second coming? By the way, it tells us that the church is coming with him. And written on his thigh is a name, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's Jesus Christ. Fantastic. Another consideration under this point, not only his great dominion, but look at his love. His love towards us. It says that in verse 5, him who loved us. And some of you, you need to check your Bibles because the publishers of your Bibles, some of them have taken some liberties. And you need to know something. Some of your Bibles say him who loves us. And some of your Bibles say him who loved us. You want to know the actual translation from the original Greek is loved. Past tense. He loved us. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? That he doesn't love us anymore? No. In fact, this is the opposite. He loved us. Of course he loves us. But what's the point? The word implies that at the right time for us, he loved us. How does that translate to us? How about this? How about I say, I love you? And we pass in the hallways and we say to one another, I love you. I love you too. Oh, that's nice, but it's just words, you know, until it's put to the test. Are you with me on that? Do you understand? It's like somebody who says, call me when you're in trouble and I'll be there. You know? Well, how do you know? Until what happens? You're in trouble. See, it's not what we hear as Christians that counts. It's what we do. You know, stop trying to convince everybody you're a Christian if you're not willing to help anybody. It'd be best for all of us that you're not saying anything at all. If you're not going to do anything, just be quiet about it, will you? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, we should be able to borrow money from you, huh? Well, I'm a Christian. Will you mow my lawn? I'm a Christian. Come visit me when I'm sick. That's what Christians do. So somebody says, well, I love you. And I say, well, I love you too. And then that person is injured down and out. Okay, if I go to them, then I show forth love because in that moment of need, they can say, I've been, what? Loved. Until that happens, it's just words. Here's what the scripture's saying here in Revelation. He loved us, past tense, at the moment it counted the most. The question this morning is, when was that moment, seeing that the Bible writes it in the past tense? Anybody? Right on. The cross. It's the cross. At the cross. It's fantastic to read and to hear. It's wonderful for me to be able to say to you this morning, Jesus loves you. And you go, well, that's cool. So does my grandma. Well, let me tell you something. Your grandma didn't die for you. And even if she did, that's kind of sad. Jesus died for you. Right when it counted the most. 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for you. You say, well, how can that be at just the right moment? You know, what's so big about that? What, you know, how about die now? I mean, I'm alive now. In the mind of God, as we've been studying, he is the one who was, who is to come, the one who's all eternal. And when he died on the cross for your sins, he had you in mind at just the right time. Listen, while he was on the cross, he thought and knew you. And everything that you've gone through and shall go through in this life, Jesus knew to the fullest. And on the cross, because he was God hanging on the cross in human flesh, he hung there and he died for my sins and for your sins at just the right time. Did he talk about it? Yes. But what did he do about it? He went to the cross. Don't ever say God doesn't love you. The next time you're tempted to think that thought, look to the cross. Unless it's become some cold, impersonal thing. That would be sad. He died on the cross. His love towards us is tremendous. He loved us. And he loved us when it counted. That's a great thing to have somebody love you when it counts. When you need them the most. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 5 that when we were still without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's fantastic. You say, Pastor, did I understand you to say ungodly? Yes. We are ungodly people. All of us are ungodly. Did you see those sweet little babies this morning? Little sinners. They're little sinners. They're innocent. Yes, they're innocent because they don't know anything. They don't know nothing. Watch. They don't know anything. Paul says, I would never have known sin, Paul says, unless someone brought me the law and told me the law. Look, you don't know you're going over 55 miles an hour until you go past the sign, right? Now the sign is there and your conscience is bugged. Oh, man, I got to slow down. It's 55. How did you know that? Because the law. Paul says, I don't know nothing wrong until the law comes into my life. So you see that little baby, so cute and so sweet and all this stuff. Yeah, they're cute and sweet, but you know what? They're little sinners. And when they get old enough, they're gonna, you know, don't watch. The cookies are baking, the house. Man, the other night I was trying to sleep and my daughters were cooking chocolate chip cookies. That's the worst thing. Trying to sleep. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you can smell that. Oh, man. Well, that little baby's in the room, smell the cookies, see the cookies, and we'll reach for the cookie and eat the cookie. No guilt, no sin, no problem. Until mom says, okay, look, no more cookies. No more cookies for you. You've had enough. And mom walks out of the room. But little baby wants more cookies. Now baby has a dilemma, and you can watch those little babies on the hidden camera. They'll go like this. They'll see the cookie right there, and they'll go like this. And they go through this thing. It's great. They're like looking at it, and it's like it's going to jump like into their pocket. They're not sure. They're looking at it, and then they get closer, and they just get close, and it's like, and they touch it. Whoa. And they get close, and then they take it. What's with the hesitation? They know it's wrong now. They can't have it. The law has gone up. You can't have it. They take it. They eat it. Mom comes in the door. Did you eat the cookie? No, I did not eat the cookie. They'll even tell you, it flew right into my mouth. I don't know how that happened. I did not touch it. And they've got the chocolate chips and the crumbs on their hands. I did not do this. They not only stole, they not only violated your command, and now they're lying about it. Just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Same thing. We do the same thing. Yeah, they're cute, but listen, they're little sinners, and they're going to pull it off the first chance they get. We're the same way. You think, look at us. Did we grow up and then learn how to lie? Hey, can somebody teach me how to lie, please? You know how to do that. It's in us. The Bible says, while we were at our worst in the mind of God, though you and I were never born yet, God knew our lives, and he still went to the cross. Would you have done that for the person sitting next to you? Well, you've done that for a total stranger. God did. Don't think for a moment, well, nobody loves me. Well, maybe nobody does love you, but God does. Oh, nobody wants me in their life. Well, maybe that's true. I don't know, but God does. I'm not worth anything. God says you're worth everything. And then look at verse 5, forgiveness. His forgiveness. He not only loved us, look at the other word in past tense. What is it? He washed us. This is the best. Please take a highlighter. If you don't have one, borrow one from your neighbor. Highlight this. In my opinion, we could leave right now with this one. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Underline that. This is the greatest news. This is the gospel. This is it. Do you need any more than this? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. I had somebody knock on my door this week from a local cult, and they told me what I needed to do to get to heaven. So they talked and talked. I let them talk and talk. And they said, so that's our good news. That's it? I said, well, I got some good news for you. And my good news, frankly, was better than their good news. Because I got to sign up to be in their group. I got to be baptized by their pastors and their water. Their water. And holy water. Oh, man. What else do I have to do? Well, tithing, be faithful at tithing. They have this list of stuff. It says here that he washed us from our sins in his blood. If you add any more to that, you're in trouble. How dare you insult the grace of God? How dare you insult the power of his blood? Oh, yes, Jesus, thank you for your blood and my faithfulness to your commands. Well, how faithful have you been to his commands? The Bible says if you break one of them, you're guilty of all of them. Think about it. The Bible says that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. Then how will we ever enter heaven? By him having washed us from our sins in his blood. Class, the right answer is, if God should ask, why should I let you into my heaven? Because your son has washed me from my sins by his blood. Ding! Right answer. Come in. Wrong answer. He's washed me from my sins in his blood, and I've given $1 million to the church. Wrong answer. He washed me from sins and blood, and I've been faithful to attend church. Wrong answer. That's why the thief on the cross can hang there next to Jesus, and Jesus turns to him and says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That was it. Jesus Christ, I love it. Jesus Christ died on the cross. One man on one side went to heaven. One man on the other side, the other thief went to hell. And there the Savior was in between them both. Isn't that amazing? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a wonderful thing. Final consideration. Look at his reward. Jesus has a reward in that he has given us authority. And this is always a hard thing. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to give me authority. I mean, who would ever, oh, God, give me authority. That's kind of a weird thing, you know? Who are we? But God grants it. Look what it says in verse 6, that he has made us, again, past tense, church, this is amazing. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It's past tense again, and it means that what Jesus did on the cross had its reward, and this is its reward. Now, look, we hear this and we blush, but this is what it means. In the literal Greek New Testament, it says it this way. He's made us a kingdom of kings and priests. A kingdom. Look at this. From one end of the sanctuary to the other, this is a gathering. In this gathering, those of you who are born again, Jesus said you must be born again. Those of you who are born again, that is, you put your faith and trust in Christ, he is declaring from the Bible that you are in a kingdom of kings and priests. And we blush at that. I don't want to be a, what do you mean a king? Children of the king, children of his kingdom. What do you mean king? It's not until you read in the scripture that when Christ returns, we who are believers will rule and reign with him. You've read that. Okay. I don't want to. I don't care to. Maybe it's because I don't understand, but God says it's going to be that way. That means we're going to be learning a lot of neat stuff. But one of those things is that we will rule and reign with Christ when he returns to earth. I don't know how that's going to look or how that's going to be, but he does. But when it says priests, this is an amazing thing. In Revelation 5:9, I read this to you. They sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. The part about the priest is a mind blower, and we'll end with this. Right now, we're quiet. We're in this room together, soon to be dismissed. Listen, when it talks about priests, it's our witness to those that are around us and to the world outside of us. You're going to be leaving here soon. And as you go, if you're a Christian, Wherever you go, you have the opportunity to take the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God. Listen, just like in the Old Testament times, when the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim on top, remember the two angels there, the Indiana Jones Ark of the Covenant thing? As they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the wilderness, the priest took the presence of God that resided over the Ark as they went. Wherever God's holiness went, it went because the priest took it. Are you with me? Wherever mercy went, how did it go? By the feet of the priest. Wherever God's generosity went, whatever God's judgment went, whatever God's whatever went, his nature, it went by the feet of the priest. Are you with me? If somebody was to experience mercy, it would come by virtue of the feet of the priest, because it was the priest that took the presence of God to the world. No wonder why the Bible says that we are a kingdom of priests, because outside of this building, how are they going to know the love of God? You think they're going to read it in a book? Larry King's going to tell them? How are they going to know? Us, we're it. We're the ones. It's you and me. When somebody, you know, we go to brunch right now after service and someone spills something on us, that's the big test. You know, the waitress or the waiter comes up, oh no, sorry. Oh, he's expecting to get chewed out. He's expecting you to respond. What if you turn and say, you know what? Hey, I've already been baptized, but sprinkling, okay, that's fine. Or someone's broken down, or someone says hi. How are they ever going to know about your God? Unless we leave this place and carry with us forgiveness, compassion, love, gratefulness. This is an unthankful world, unholy, unforgiving, and we are to go right out into this world and say, you know what? I'm thankful because God has been good to me. Let's be thankful to the other person there. Let's reach out to them. They're not going to read their Bibles out there in the world. They're not going to read some book. They're not going to do anything but what you and I, listen, carry to them in our feet. Does God dwell in your heart? I don't care what you say, and you shouldn't care what I say. The proof of it is how we live our lives. Can people come into our homes or watch us in our daily living and conclude that we're different from the world? That's the test. It's not those in heaven who say they're Christians. It's those in heaven who do Christianity. And that's the key. If God is real in your life, the Holy Spirit is doing Christianity in your life.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the Christian life. It isn't us trying to live righteously. It's God the Holy Spirit living righteously in us and through us. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in the final installment of a sub-series taken from the book of Revelation called Jesus Christ, Center Stage. If you'd like, you can hear this study once again. In fact, you can hear past broadcasts. We're still in Chapter 1 of Revelation, so now's a good time to get started. Visit us at www.realradioactive.org and catch up on just the first few broadcasts of this series, realradioactive.org. While you're there, look into becoming a podcast subscriber to all future broadcasts of Real Radio, all at no charge, by the way, realradioactive.org. If you prefer to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. It's quite easy to remember. Area code 909-393-7100. If you'd like to support the broadcast and to make sure that it continues on the air, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of that information, simply pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.